So assuming that oral argument is possible and it's been granted or it could be granted, you need to consider, of course, what your goals are at that part of the case. You know, do you want oral argument? Are you likely to benefit from it? You know, one thing to consider when you're looking at that is that under the Open Meetings Act, if you're in front of an agency with multiple commissioners, it's likely that they have not had the opportunity to deliberate about your case together before this open meeting. And if there is oral argument, it's almost like you're there for a decisional conference and you're a part of it. So that can be very helpful to you. So you should consider that when you're deciding whether you want oral argument. But of course, you should also consider the status of the case. This is a case that went to SOA, for example, and you got a proposal for decision from the judges that is just exactly what you wanted, then you may well be in a posture of not wanting to really raise the profile of this case any more than it already is. Maybe you're hoping that the commissioners will, you know, get out their rubber stamp, so to speak, and just approve that PFD with little to no comment. And if that's the case, then, you know, you probably don't want oral argument. But on the other side of that, if you lost the PFD, then maybe you do want oral argument to try to raise the profile and make sure that your arguments are heard. You know, and then you may also want oral argument if there's a specific problem in briefing or a point of confusion in the PFD that you really think would benefit from just being explained beyond what's in the briefing. And, you know, another reason you might request oral argument is if your opponent, an opposing party, raised an argument in their reply briefs that you never got a chance to respond to, and you find it to be a problematic argument for you and you need to address it. And again, there on the last bullet, you have to bear in mind that even if you decide you don't want to request oral argument, even if the commissioners don't grant oral argument, that doesn't mean that there won't be any discussion involving the parties at the open meeting. At the PUC especially, it's very common for the commissioners to call up parties and start asking them about the case. So you need to be prepared whether or not there's oral argument. Okay, next slide. All right, so creating your oral argument, how do you go about this process? As we discussed on the last slide, you need to start by considering your goals. What exactly are you trying to get out of this oral argument? Why did you request it? Or why did your opposing party request it? Bear those things in mind as you move forward. One thing that I like to do is to prepare a longer and shorter version of an argument. For starters, at the PUC, you will often not know how much time you're going to be granted. The commissioners will often call the parties up for oral argument if they've granted oral argument. And then the first thing the commissioners will do is decide amongst themselves how much time they're going to give you. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 5 minutes. You just don't know in advance. So you need to be ready with a short version of your argument that gets exactly the points you have to get in a short amount of time. And then also longer versions, which expand on that in case you have more time. You know, in addition to the fact that you don't know how much time you have, you could also be interrupted by many questions or maybe none. So you need to have flexibility. And that's why I also like to prepare arguments in modules, which are sort of independent sections that I have memorized and that I can skip around to. So if I have 3 points and the commissioners are only going to give me enough time to make one, I can make only one of them. If I have those 3 points and I'm planning to start with one of them, but the commissioners have already indicated in a prior party's argument that they don't really want to hear about that, then I can skip and I can go straight to 2 or straight to 3, and I can skip around if I'm getting questions that are leading me into my third point first, et cetera. So flexibility is very important in these arguments, and your preparation should reflect that. Next slide. So when you're creating your argument, you, of course, are always mindful of your theory of the case, because that's why you win this case, and that's what you're ultimately always trying to accomplish. And you're also always tying back to your themes. I'd recommend you get straight to the point in an oral argument, especially in front of these agencies where you don't know how much time you're going to have. You want to explain immediately where you're going, immediately the point that you're going to make in the oral argument. It helps the listener understand and filter all the information that comes after that. It also, you may get interrupted very quickly, so it's a good way to just get that out. You should have no more than three reasons in support of your argument. You know, this is something that Brian Garner always stresses, and, you know, I'm not exactly sure the rationale behind it, but it seems to be true that the human mind just filters arguments best if there are three reasons in support of it. Four, you start to forget them all. You can't remember all four arguments that a person is making, but, you know, three seems to be right there. You know, I would say, however, in an oral argument in front of an agency, you should feel free to just be making one point. You know, if you have one point that you really need to make, feel free to make that one point. I would be hesitant to have more than three, but feel free to have less. If you do have the opportunity to give a longer argument, I would signpost that argument. And what I mean by that is starting with an explanation of what you're going to argue. And hopefully you can do that in a way that also makes your main point. So, for example, you could start your argument by saying the commission should approve the proposal for decision in this case for the following three reasons, one, two, three, and I'll address each one in turn. And then you start your argument. You've helped the listener understand where you're going. And the other thing that this does is that it can help, you know, avoid being interrupted unnecessarily. So if, for example, if a commissioner really wants to ask about what you have as your second point, but you just charge straight into your first point with no explanation of what you're going to say in your argument, it's more likely that they'll interrupt you because they don't want to hear your first point. They want to hear a second point. But if you've indicated you're going to get to that second point, then it's less likely they'll interrupt you.